We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
We are going through the book of Colossians, kind of segment by segment, verse by verse. And I kind of thought that we would be wrapping this thing up in the next 2 weeks. And the more I got into the closeout of the chapter, I realized there is such richness in the back half of as he's finishing out this letter to Colossians. So if it's okay with you guys, we're going to hang around in Colossians for a little while longer. Is that okay? We're going to learn a little more from the Word of God. And one of the greatest blessings in this life is to have friends. Amen? Now, how many of you have friends? Not every hand went up. I'm concerned. To find yourself without friendship is to find yourself in a very lonely place. I think a lot of us have acquaintances. I think we know people, but I don't know that we have that many, quote, friends. And friendship, indeed, is extraordinarily important. I want us to think about this statement, and that is simply this, that God to live life in isolation or to do life on our own. Some of you may have the notion that I just wish I could go live by myself and be alone on an island and not talk to anybody. I won't embarrass you and ask you to put your hand up, but some of us, now, how many of you would just put your hand up and say, there are some days I actually do feel like that, Pastor? Okay, yes, all right, I get that. But did you know that is not God's plan? And that is not what God wants. Somebody said this about friendship. If you want to find out who your friends are, get into some trouble, go through a trial and look around you. And the people that are standing there with you, those who are reaching out a hand to you, those are your true friends. Those are your true friends. And it is in the crisis moments of our life that we find out who our true friends actually are. And this was most definitely the case for Paul. Paul is, as you know, he's writing this letter from where? Where is he at writing the letter? Where is he? He's in prison. He's in jail and he's writing this letter. And this verse and these verses tonight are going to talk about some of his closest and dearest friends. And the final verses reveal to us some of what I call, and I hope you'll write this little phrase down on your notes tonight, the unsung heroes of the faith. I have simply called this message A Few Faithful Friends, Part 1. But tonight we're really looking at a very well-known man to Paul, but an unknown man to us, an unsung hero of the faith. And these folks tonight in this passage serve as an encouragement and as an example because, listen, they don't just show us what a friend looks like, but they show us how a friend should act. And what is it that a friend should do? It goes without saying tonight that if you read the life of Paul, would you guys agree with me that he was a very inspiring individual? He obviously had an incredible personality. He had a masterful way with people. And he found himself surrounded by so many faithful, loyal, dedicated, and loving individuals. People who were faithful. And here you see, to Paul, the very end. They stood with him to the very, very end. You see, to Paul, people were indispensable assets to the ministry and to life. He knew something. He knew what every wise minister of the gospel knows, and that is this: you can't do it alone. And you're a fool if you try. You're a fool if you try. I think all of us know that life is hard sometimes, isn't it? Ministry is heavy. It's lonely. It's heartbreaking. And we all need help. And only a humble person admits this. If you want to turn over to Exodus chapter 17, you can. I'm not going to spend time reading the passage, but in Exodus 17 and verses 8 through 13, you find the great battle that the Israelites were having, and Moses would hold up a rod. How many of you know the story? And as long as the rod was held in the air, what would happen, friends? Israel would win, but when the rod dropped, what happened? Amalek would prevail. And there's a very interesting segment in the text. It says, and Moses' hands were heavy. He got weary. He got tired. The Bible talks about how two men came alongside of him and held up his arms so that he might be able to continue to help the nation of Israel prevail. And there is something about leadership that we should know, and that is this, that every good and great leader has benefited from the support and strength of those who serve alongside them. Leaders are made more effective by those that help them. I personally owe a great deal of debt and have incredible gratitude for people, past and present, who have helped me not only professionally, but have helped me personally, and who continue to help me. I would not be standing here behind this sacred desk tonight if it were not for some very great men and women with me, and who encourage me, and who stand with me. Some of them even here tonight, the staff who serve on the church, our deacons, my wife, so many who serve with me. One of my favorite phrases that I share all the time with our staff is this little phrase. Maybe you'll write it down. Nothing great is ever achieved alone. Nothing great is ever achieved alone. Paul never ministered alone, although he may have felt alone at times and even stood alone. And he was never alone. And he knew the importance of having faithful friends in this life. There's a great poem that was written many years ago by a man named Robert McShian. It's written in 1853 called The Debt I Owe. He was a missionary to Palestine, died when he was 30. His books and devotions are still being read and written, and one of his poems, although shortened, was put into a song. I think when God calls me home, Angela, remember this, that at my funeral, I want this song sung, all the verses. Because to me, it speaks of the great debt that not only do I owe personally to so many wonderful people in my life, but I think more so than that, the great debt that you and I both owe to our Savior. Amen? It says, when this passing world is done, and when has sunk yon glaring sun, when with Christ in glory, looking over life's finished story, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, not till then, with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When the praise of heaven I hear, loud as thunder to the ear, loud as many waters' noise, sweet as harp's melodious voice, then, Lord, shall I fully know, but not till then, how much I owe. Even on earth, as through a glass, darkly let thy glory pass, make forgiveness feel so sweet, make thy Spirit's help to meet. Even on earth, Lord, make me know something of how much I owe. Chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Savior's side, by the Spirit sanctified. Teach me, Lord, on earth to show, by my love, how much I owe. Oft I walk beneath the cloud, dark as midnight's gloomy shroud. But when fear is at the height, Jesus comes in all his light. Blessed Jesus, bid me show doubting saints how much I owe. Because when in flowery paths I tread, oft by sin I am captive led. Oft I fall, but still I rise. The Spirit comes and the tempter flies. Blessed Spirit, bid me show weary sinners all that I owe. Oft the nights of sorrow reign, weeping sickness and sighing in pain. But at night thine anger burns, morning comes and joy returns. God of comforts, bid me to show to the poor how much I owe. Father, we are grateful tonight, because as I stand here, I stand on the shoulders of greater men, who allowed me, because of their love and their faithfulness, to be able to be used of you. I think all of us, Lord, tonight recognize where we are to some small degree, that we would not be where we are without you. We would not be where we are without faithful people. And so as we peel back the curtain for these next few moments, as the great writer said, Lord, help us, teach us, give us a glimpse of how much we owe. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want you to look at the passage in Colossians chapter 4. Just two verses tonight. Paul says these words, all my state shall Tychicus, what a name, huh? Tychicus. I have yet to do a baby dedication with a baby Tychicus. I hope I get to one day. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate. And what does it say? Comfort your hearts. In this passage, as we will work through this text in the weeks ahead, there are about eight individuals that served with Paul. Most of them are not well known. Most of them can't even, you know, if we try to say their names, we're probably going to have to see them in heaven and apologize, right? Because we just butchered their name totally. Very obscure, but they were very special to Paul. And hopefully, by God's grace, they will take on a new significance to us, for their faithfulness has directly affected our life also, friends. Many of these men have left behind a faithful legacy in how they loved and lived for Christ, how they paid a high price for even associating with Paul. And they may not be well known to us, but there is one who knows. Amen, church? There's one who sees. There's one who's ever watching, who's ever present. There are several characters in this text, and these characters are godly characters because they have wonderful godly characteristics that reveal what position he was not in. They actually are. And Tychicus is the first one that we come to. He held no official position. He was not an apostle. He was not a pastor. There was no record of any special spiritual feats, miracles. He was simply a faithful man. And I say the word faithful, and I say the word man, and they're two words that often do not go well in the same sentence together in the day and age in which we live. In fact, in Proverbs 20, the question is asked, a faithful man who can find. Well, you know what, friends? Tonight in the text, we find one. We find a faithful man. We find a faithful individual. And I've just given us a few words tonight to talk about what this man was, how he acted, and the very beautiful, loving, godly characteristics that shine forth from his life. So let's start with the first one, shall we? Number one, he was loving. He was loving, and thank God for a man who can be loving. Amen? Loving. Right away, Paul says he is a beloved brother. A beloved brother. This means that he was filled with the love of Christ, and the love of Christ that was in him flowed where? Out. It flowed out of him. The word beloved is the same word that God used when speaking of Jesus, saying, this is my what? Beloved son. My beloved son. It shows the great depth to which Tychicus was loved by Paul. Now, let me just say this as lovingly as I can. How many of you know that there are some people who are just easy to love? And how many of you know that there are some people that are... Say amen. Yeah, there's some people you're just like, man, this guy, you look at Stephanie and you're like, I just love her. She's amazing, isn't she? You meet some people and you're like, wow, they're just. And I think if we were to be around in the time of Paul and we would look at Tychicus, we would just say, I just love that guy. I love him for who he is. And I believe Paul felt the same way about him because of all that is written about him and the fact that only a loving person would do the person and see that Tychicus did. You cannot be a loving person and do and carry out the duties and the tasks that Tychicus was carrying out. You see, he sacrificed and he served in the most unassuming fashion. In fact, our love for Christ is what enables us and equips us to serve others. It's the love of Jesus in our heart that helps us be a better father, a better friend, a better wife, a better neighbor, better mom, better dad. It is the love of Jesus that is in us, that should be flowing through us, that enables us to do the things that, listen, how many of you know sometimes loving people sometimes is just not very fun? It's just not. It's not very pleasant. It's not very joyful sometimes, but it is only the love of Christ that is in us. You see, a lot of people claim that they are loving, but the truest test of someone's love is not do they love when it's easy, but when it's hard. When it's hard. Write this down. I know I love people when it's going to cost me something. When it's going to cost me. It cost Tychicus to love Paul. Paul was in the back half of his life. At any moment, he could have been beheaded. In fact, it wasn't many years after the writing of this that he actually was beheaded. And those who associated with Paul were rounded up and hounded and chased. You see, real Christ-like love, it leaves a lasting legacy, just like Tychicus. Paul said, he's my beloved brother, and I love him. Secondly, he's faithful. He's faithful. They say that the greatest ability is dependability. There's a lot of truth in that, isn't there, friends? As servants, the Scripture says it is required that we be found, let's all say the word together, that we be found what?
Faithful.
Faithful. That we are found faithful. Do you know why God says that we should be found faithful? Let me unravel the gift of teaching. How many of you know that not everyone has the gift of teaching? How many of you know that not everyone has the gift of administration? Not everyone has the gift of discernment. Not everyone has the gift of hospitality. Not everyone has the gift of giving. Just side note, if you don't have the gift of giving, that doesn't exclude you from giving. Let's just clear that up, shall we? Okay. Not everyone has the gift of preaching. But did you know that all of us have the ability to be faithful? Did you know that if you're a Sunday school teacher, your faithfulness is just as important as my faithfulness to be in the pulpit as it is for you to be in your class? If you're a golf cart driver, if you're an usher, if you're in the tech booth, if you're in the choir, if you're in the nursery, if you're with the teenagers, your faithfulness is as equally important as the pastor's. Why? It levels the playing field. And why? Because faithfulness is the one thing that we can all do and be. That's why God says in the text, it's required. God will never require you to do something that is impossible. Understand that He enables us to be faithful. And that's why He says it's required. It's something that we can do. So whatever it is that you are doing, realize you can be what? Faithful. You see, faithfulness is the highest commendation that we can be given. Can I ask you guys a question? Have you ever heard the phrase, well done, thou good and? Let me ask you something. Don't you long to hear that from Jesus one day? Amen. That was it? Three amens? Wow. Yeah, I kind of hope he says that, you know. Do you long to hear that from him?
Amen.
Okay. That's the highest commendation. Well done. Good and what? Faithful. Faithful. Ask yourself, is this me? But Tychicus was, I think it's a lot easier to find a fair-weathered friend, don't you? But Tychicus was faithful to Paul. He is the kind of guy that you could count on no matter what. And I mean, think about it. He is, now think about this. He is responsible for carrying three of Paul's letters. He carries the letter to the church at Colossae. He carries the letter to the church at Ephesus. And he carries the letter to Philemon. In fact, he didn't just carry a letter, had a person go with him. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Oh, here's our guy. Who is it? Some of you don't want to try to pronounce that name, do you? And how I do, Tychicus, a what kind of brother? And a what? Faithful minister in the Lord. He shall make known to you all things. He mentions Onesimus. We're going to talk about him. This is the runaway slave that Tychicus took back to Philemon, and there's a beautiful picture of forgiveness, a wonderful, one of the smallest books in the New Testament. You could read it in the morning and feel like you've read a whole book of the Bible. He takes him back. You see, I read something this week that was so convicting. May I share the pain with you? Tychicus was willing to do what most of us would not want to do. You see, that's what a faithful person does. A faithful person does the things that other people do not want to do. And the writer of this very old commentary that I was reading used this little phrase. I shared it with my wife last night as we were eating dinner. And here's what the phrase was. Tychicus was willing to be God's errand boy. How many of you would get annoyed when your parents would say, "I need you to run an errand"? How many of you husbands get annoyed when your wife says, "You're not going to admit it in church"? "Oh, I like when she asks me. I love it." No. Okay. See. Do you know what Tychicus... You want me to take some letters? What do you need, Paul? I got it. What do you want? You want me to take some letters? You want me to travel? You want me to go to Rome and find you in prison? What do you want, Paul? I'm your guy. Imagine being responsible. Imagine being responsible for carrying three of Paul's letters. Did you know that tonight we are benefiting from his faithfulness? What if he would have said, "Paul, Rome, Colossae, Ephesus, do you know how far that is? Let me read a commentary to you." The commentator says this: "It's a long trip! Exclamation point. A perilous trip. He had to cross Italy on foot." Think on that for a moment. "And then he had to sail the Adriatic. Then he had to cross Greece. Then he had to sail the Aegean. Then he had to walk, after he had landed at Miletus, up the steep Lycus River valley to Laodicea and Colossae. And it wasn't easy, and it was very difficult." Does that give us a better perspective tonight of Tychicus? To give you a little framework so when we look at our Bible and we think, thank God for a faithful man like Tychicus who said, "I'll do it, Paul. I'll do it. I'll take the parchments and I'll go to the church." The only reason he would do that is, number three, is because he was humble. Because he was humble. The scripture says that he was a fellow servant. What this means is that one who serves the same master with another. Side by side, Paul said they were serving. And Tychicus was serving Jesus just as much as Paul was. Paul has only ever used this word in describing people one other time. This idea of a fellow servant. In fact, if you were to make note of this, we don't have time tonight, but in Acts chapter 20, verse 4, we see that Tychicus is serving Paul while he is on his prisons and while he is a prisoner in Rome. Now, you guys know that prisons in Rome back in Paul's day aren't like today's prisons, the penthouses that these people go to. These are very different. Angela and I had the privilege of actually going to Rome and seeing some of these prisons. And I mean, you talk about a pit. You talk about a dungeon. You talk about desolation and desperation and dark and cold and damp. I mean, Mike and I were talking not too long ago, and he actually showed me a picture of the actual prison that they thought Paul... I mean, it was a hole in the ground. And I can just kind of picture Paul looking up, and there's Tychicus. "Hey, Paul, I brought you something to eat today." See, they didn't feed the prisoners. Your family member or your friend or somebody didn't come, guess what happened to you? You were rat bait. And Tychicus was there. What I love about Tychicus is that he didn't need a title to do the job. He simply acted as a liaison for Paul and for the churches. Somebody said this: if you need the title to do the job, you don't need the job. Isn't that good? That's why when Paul told Titus and Timothy on their search for servants or deacons in a church, he was clear. He said, look for men who are already doing the job and appoint them to that position. When you get to these churches, and as your churches are growing, find men that fit the following criteria, and those are the guys that are to serve the church. Those are the men. Don't look for a guy and think, you know, he's got potential. I'll give him the title, and maybe he'll suddenly turn into a servant. It's not going to work. And this was Tychicus. You see, because sometimes we become motivated by the position. We become motivated by the title. See, a true humble servant will do the job whether he has. She understands there's a... Why? Because he understands and she understands there's a higher calling on their life. And God has called all of us to be humble. For Paul, God used him in a very unique platform. For Tychicus, he didn't get the title apostle. But regardless, they both served together, side by side. And they were quite happy to be blessed and to be a blessing. And people who are humble, they don't need the spotlight. They don't need the accolades and the recognition. In fact, they would just as soon shy away from it. You ever hear of the term behind the scenes? That was Tychicus. Just let me serve quietly off to the side. I don't need any of this. Just put the letter in my hand and I'll head off to Ephesus and I'll head off to Colossae. And Onesimus, let's go. Got to get you back to Philemon. Number four, he was honest. He was honest. Everything Paul, the text says, will you? He says, all my state I leave to Tychicus. Now, everything Paul had, he said, I'm putting in his hands. What an incredible statement. Let me ask you something. How many of you understand what it means to have a will, right? We understand that. Okay. And are you cautious on who gets all of your estate, yes or no? You might be like, oh, I don't care who gets everything. It's fine. How many of you care about that? Yeah. And you want to make sure that the person who gets everything is going to do what? Right with it. There's a beautiful little word here. You know it well, but maybe you should write it down. Trust. Paul trusted Tychicus. And I love the fact that later on in the letter, some of Paul's last writings, he talks about his cloak that he left and his parchment. Isn't it good to know that Paul was human like the rest of us and forgot a few things every now and again? Amen. And he needed someone he could trust to say, hey, listen, I left a few things. Could you get those for me? And there's Tychicus. Paul, you absent-minded. No. Sure, Paul. I got it. The little phrase also speaks to the fact that Paul knew Tychicus would tell the church exactly how he was doing. That he would be clear, that he would be honest in his speech. Just a little word here to those of us who will say sometimes, well, I'm just being honest. Be careful how you say that phrase. You often will leave people very wounded by your inconsiderations, your crass tongue, and your sharp wit, all in the name of honesty. The Bible is very clear, and it says that if we are going to speak the truth, we should speak it only ever in love. And if you can't speak it in love, I got a great word for you. Hush. Hush. If you can't say it in love, then just hush. You don't need to get your dig in or throw it. Just stop. And then, with the clock a little bit against me tonight, let me just give you this last one. He was encouraging. He was encouraging. In that last little phrase there, I had you repeat it when we read the passage tonight, that he was going to comfort the hearts of those that were there. In essence, he was going to be an encouragement to build them up. Have you ever been around people that don't build you up? In fact, they drain you. They drain you. God, help us to be life-giving Christians, not life-draining Christians. Remember, the word comfort means to encourage, and it means, in this sense here, in the strongest sense of the word, it means that we invest our time and we invest our presence. We show interest in other people. One of the things that I love about many of the missionaries that we support, and some of them I'm very close with and have developed a friendship. In fact, if you would pray for Jeff Carney, his grandfather passed away yesterday. Jeff told me as we were talking, he said, Todd, that man is probably the reason I am who I am today. He influenced me for Christ more than any other individual. And one of the things that I love about many of our missionaries who come through here is this. They care about the church as well. They want to know how we're doing. And they'll say, how can I pray for you? And how can I be an encouragement for you? And listen, what is it we can do? How can we in turn be a blessing back to you? Isn't it great to be around people who aren't self-centered? People who are thinking, how can I be a blessing? How can I encourage you? And this was Tychicus. As he came to these churches, it wasn't all about, hey, I've just come from the great Paul. Listen, I got an awesome... No. Paul said, that's why I'm sending Tychicus, because he's going to come to you and he's going to build you up in the faith. And he's going to be honest with you. And he's going to care for you. And he's going to serve you with an unselfish motive, not working another angle or agenda. Friends, would you agree with me that sometimes it's very easy to get caught up in our world that we overlook the world around us? Sometimes the center of our world becomes us, and population me, right? I want to give you two things tonight as we get ready to wrap this up. Number one, show your encouragement. Show your encouragement. He said, what do you mean, Pastor? Listen carefully. Do something for someone else who can't do anything back for you. Do something for someone. Write them a note. Give them a gift. Bless them. Do something with no expectation in return. I just want to do this because I want to encourage you. Because I love you. Because I care about you. Secondly, speak your encouragement. You see, some of you thought, well, I do something for someone who doesn't have any money. That's okay. If you don't have any money, you can speak your encouragement. Amen. It doesn't take much to write a note. It wouldn't take much for you as you're leaving the building tonight to go by and look at those missionaries and jot their address down, grab their email, get their mailing address and say, you know what, tonight when we get home or maybe this Friday or this weekend, we're going to get our kids and we're going to sit down. You know what we're going to do? We're going to write a letter and we're going to tell them we're praying for you. We're going to encourage them. You know what that'll do for them, friends? Maybe on your way out tonight, if you have kids in the kids ministry, if you have teens in the teen ministry, find one of those who serve over there and pull them off to the side and say, you know what, I appreciate what you're doing. Thank you for serving. It means a lot to me that I can come and sit and listen and grow. Thank you. Thanks for watching my little blessing in the nursery. Amen? Maybe when the choir's done singing, go to some of the choir members and say, man, that really touched me. I appreciate you being here Sundays at 4. Tell one of the orchestra members, I'm glad you toot your horn for Jesus. Amen? Speak your encouragement. Speak it. You say, well, people aren't encouraging me. Who are you encouraging? Encourage. You know what Tychicus, you know what his name means? His name means fortunate. Think about that, will you? Think how fortunate Paul was to have him in his life. I think all of us would love a guy like this in our life. Amen? Think about how fortunate we are for having him faithfully carry out those letters. So when you ever read a good verse in Ephesians, just think, that got there because of Tychicus. When you're reading Colossians or somebody quotes Colossians, you might not just think of Paul, you might think of who? Tychicus did that. Yeah, don't mess his name up now, all right? Think about it. I want you to do this tonight. Think about the people in your life who have been a little or a lot like this guy. Think how much better your life is because of them. You know, you don't hear a lot about people like Tychicus. No books named after him. There's no first and second Tychicus, all right? There's none of that. No special position. What an amazing person. Didn't he represent Jesus well, friends? You know, you and I may never have a big title. We may never have a privileged position. We may never write a book. We may be obscure. We may be little known. But there's one who knows. There's one who's watching. And he's fully aware of everything that you do. We may not have a lot of money. We may not be famous. But think about it, friends. Think of the rich treasure that Tychicus was to Paul. Think about that. Monday night, I had the privilege of marrying one of my dearest and best friends, Ramphus. And in a little note that I wrote to him and to me, I said to him, "The greatest thing that you have ever given to me is the gift of your friendship." Now, he's not here tonight. He's on his honeymoon. And there are so many people who God has brought into all of our lives that if we would just take a moment and pause and say, "You know what, Lord? I'm so blessed." And maybe you're here tonight and you feel like, "Well, I don't really have anybody like that." Can I just speak to you for a minute? Maybe you're sitting here and think, "There's really nobody like that for me." Listen carefully. Then you start being that person to somebody else. Don't sit around and wait and go, "Nobody's coming to me." You go to someone. You watch what'll happen. You watch how it'll change you. Start putting these attributes that Tychicus had at work in your life to someone else. Watch how full and enriching and joyful your life will become. And so my prayer for us is that our friendship would be a rich treasure to those that we share our life with. Just an enriching treasure. So that when somebody says our name, "Man, there's a faithful man. There's a faithful woman. There's a loving, loyal, honest, encouraging individual." Isn't that what we want to be, church?
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.